Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this January the 6th on the West Coast, now January the 7th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. It's very nice having you with us, and we'd also like to welcome anyone listening on Wind Talkers Radio Network or BlogTalkRadio.com. Just so you know, those that have been visiting my website, and it looks like there's more than just the intelligence agencies going there. The numbers are too high. I know people are still looking for the Eisenhower articles. They should be up, hopefully, by tomorrow. I've been working feverishly, and I'm all the way up to Part 7 on the Three Stooges Go to Washington. A lot of programming. Coincidentally, on New Year's Day, American Movie Classics, AMC, was showing nonstop Three Stooges episodes. What a coincidence. And here I am, on the heels of that, reading about the Three Stooges in Washington. It's been impressed upon me from having reviewed my work that much of what I've written is very pertinent to what's going on today, and I encourage those that are visiting my site, if you haven't read it or if you sort of skimmed through it, you might go back and pay it a bit more detail. You're going to find out that much about what I wrote, even early on, before I had discovered some of the things in the later parts of the serial article, was right on the money. And there are some things that I did write that actually caused me great concern. I'm angry and outraged that nothing is being done about corruption that I certainly proved in these articles. But we're going to deal with another side of how to deal with these types of things, dealing with the truth and seeing the truth, hearing the truth in the Word, and understanding where we're going in our venture called the experience of life, or life on planet Earth, and where we might be going afterward. Tonight's guest is an expert in that area. She's an intuitive life coach. She is also a talk show host. She has her own show on BBSRadio.com, and her message resonates with me. I'm sure it will resonate with my listeners, and I invite you, Evident Footprints, for the first time, but not the last time, Miss Jennifer Hillman. Jennifer, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Thank you for letting me be on, Don. It's a pleasure and an honor to be here.
Well, it's an honor to have you. I listen to your show often, as I mentioned to you, and I find what you share with your listeners to be very inspirational and uplifting, and I felt it was time, since we're in 2010, this is the time of upliftment, I think, for humanity.
Oh, most definitely. Definitely. And the focus of my show is really on self-expression and the truth, so we kind of go hand in hand. In fact, I've had a few of my listeners who have commented how much I'll start a conversation and then you'll continue on with it, and I think it's very interesting that we kind of have that connection that way.
You mean you'll do a conversation on your show and then I continue it on my show, or?
Yeah, it's something along the same subject or along the same area or flavor of what I'm talking about. They've noticed I've started it and you continue it.
Hmm. Now, I think that's a result of us tuning into spirit.
I totally agree.
I wouldn't often, I or my guests actually haven't decided what we're going to talk about. We may pick out one topic. Oh, by the way, I'd like to talk about the El Dorado Gold, or, you know, they might say something like that, but we don't script out our conversations. I do not submit, nor do I accept pre-arranged questions or anything like that. I think the truth is what it is, and as we find it, we share it, and sometimes we find it in the process together of looking for it. Often it's found live during our show, isn't it?
Oh, most definitely. And it's often interesting what does pop up. Like you say, when spirit has a message, it definitely comes through. And I really enjoy doing the radio show and speaking the truth and getting the message out there. So 2010 is going to be a lot of creativity as well. And like I said, self-expression is, I know, a huge part of my message and my purpose being here is to help people get the truth and be able to speak the truth without fear and understand they have a right, and, you know, it's a birthright to speak the truth and not feel guilty or afraid or wondering what somebody else is thinking because they have a view and they have an idea. And it's just interesting that listening to people just in everyday conversation, how much people worry so much what other people think. And it really holds them back. And they really kind of filter themselves in many ways. And I'm at times guilty of that as well. And we all have our reasons and excuses for doing it. So it's a time to really speak out.
Yeah.
And not be afraid of it.
Yeah, when I'm very familiar with that that experience in everyday life. Wouldn't you say that it's a lot of it? There are a lot of reasons for people being that way. I think the conditioning, the mind control, and the propaganda, the subtleties of education and religion, organized religion, and the things that we're told are acceptable. In public, and these are things that you don't talk about. Our parents sometimes warned us about talking about certain things. I know mine did.
Oh, mine definitely did, and they still do.
Yeah. It would be, you know, we don't believe in that, so don't talk about it. Well, you know, I'm not asking you to believe in it. I see auras, you know, and I see this illness or the sickness coming upon someone. And I have every right to talk about it. Not in this house, you don't. Not until you start paying the bills. You know, it becomes
right.
There's always a condition for the truth, you know, to come out a certain way, isn't there?
Oh, most definitely. And for me, growing up, I was extremely shy, and I didn't really say anything until I was asked a question. So I just do as I'm told and say nothing. And it was a very long time for me, actually, till I came out of my shell. And it really surprised everybody when I did. In fact, spirits remind me of one of my favorite stories of my brother when I was growing up. Is my mom would come pick me up at the kindergarten, and as we go home, I'd tell her about my day. And one of my classmates was in front of me, and he actually turned and says, "Oh my God, she can talk. We thought she was mute." That's how little I spoke. They didn't even know I had a voice. And it, when I actually was in 2000 or a little before that, I learned how to say no. And it really astonished and really freaked out my parents. And at the time I was married, and my whole family said, "What are you talking about? What do you mean? No, you're not going to do that." It really is interesting how reclaiming my power simply by saying, "No, I'm not going to organize the next family reunion," threw everybody out of disarray. They didn't know how to handle it. And I'm one of those people now that truly embraces being a rebel and shaking things up, because it makes people think for themselves. And I think that's what this world really needs, is a lot of people thinking for themselves and understanding that everything you do does have an impact on somebody else somewhere, somehow. But on the other hand, it might be a positive thing for them as well. And it's also really important to take responsibility for what you're saying and how you're saying it, because it really can change the perception people have. And when you're speaking, you really have to understand, and I know you know exactly what I'm talking about, is finding those right words to say it without filtering yourself, speaking the truth, but not scaring people at the same time.
Yes, and being accurate in what you say.
Yes.
You know, because, you know, when so often, especially when you're intuitive, you listen to spirit, and spirit's always there. That connection's always there if you're mm-hmm. listening to it. And you have to kind of modulate between the two realms, bringing the information into the physical, where when you bring it into the physical realm, you're bringing it into the mental realm. When you're telling something to someone that causes them to fear something, they're admitting to you and to themselves that they're in denial.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of the false ego, or the ego. Period. I mean, the ego is what it is, but it's a false reality. It's not really who we are, and yet we're taught to believe. We're taught to accept ego as the mm-hmm. reality of who we are, because those that write the script for what goes on in the world know full well that that is not who we are. And so they divert our attention to a place where they create the reality. Reality TV shows is a perfect example of it. There's mm-hmm. nothing real about a reality TV show. Absolutely nothing. In fact, it's the furthest from reality, but it's as though they're trying to create that reality in the rest of the world by giving us that to watch if we're watching television. I can't stand watching television anymore. The news is a farce. Even the weather report is a farce. Once you learn about HARP, you know.
Yeah.
You see why they're wrong so often. Do you see that people are in denial, and that there's a certain responsibility that comes with accepting who you are or knowing who you are? You know, it's not up to me to show you who you are, but if you're willing to entertain what I offer in that regard and consider what I offer, then, you know, you might find yourself.
Well, definitely there's a lot of people in denial, and they want to hear what they want to hear. But I also understand the fact that everybody has to accept everybody for who they are as they are in that moment. And the one thing I'm realizing is you can't change anybody. They can only change themselves. And yes, we do offer that information for them to think about, see if it resonates, and see if they want to take action in that way. But I'm also understanding that it's okay if they don't. And a lot of people are not wanting to change, especially now. But in the reality of things, right now, we're all being forced to change and really recognize what the truth is and understand that it's all for the good. It's all for the better. And very recently, I've just had so many experiences that has given me even a deeper appreciation for the universe, for God, for who and what I am, and standing in the power and the light that I am surrounded by, and attracting wonderful people like you and BBS Radio into my life, and the wonderful people that listen to my show. It really is like the community of acceptance, and that is a huge part of what people are really looking for. So, yes, there is an element of denial,
mm-hmm.
but I'm also seeing that even though they're trying to run away from it, in truth, they know they can't. And it's just a matter of time that they realize that things are going to get better unless they do change and get out of that denial mode. The ego is really being pushed in its proper perspective, in its proper place now, more than ever. And I'm seeing it. and the shifts that are going on, it's amazing to me how I can look at somebody's aura or their energy, and I can tell exactly where they are vibration-wise, and if it's somebody I really need to talk to or somebody I really should just say it's been very nice to meet you and just gently walk away.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really just interesting the amount of denial that is out there, but I'm also seeing that a lot of people are coming up and just saying, you know I'm in denial about something, but I'm not sure exactly what.
Yes. And certainly I don't mean to sound like I'm chastising those that are...
Oh, no. I'm not meaning to say that either.
Yeah. The point I'm making is that there's this obligation that we somehow deep down inside us feel that we must share with people.
Oh, yes.
If there's a disaster about to befall mankind and you see it and you share it, the worst thing that can happen is nothing.
Yeah.
It doesn't come true, but to be prepared for it, to understand, so that if it does happen, you can at least fall back on that brief glimpse that you got of that disclosure and say, well, I remember hearing that. Okay, what am I going to do? When it's something out of your control, you still have to be able to think on your feet. Now, I'm going to be thinking for me, and I'm sure you're going to be thinking for you, you know, if a time like that ever arrives. But it doesn't necessarily even have to arrive. That's the whole point, is that we seem to be focused on what everyone is telling us is going to happen. So much that maybe they're actually revealing their plans for mankind. We're going to herd everybody into concentration camps. We're going to infect everyone with vaccinations. We're going to reduce the population of the earth to 500 million people. And everyone goes into this fear mode because they wonder, am I on that list? What did I do? All I did was watch football, or I watched Dancing with the Stars, or I watched The Simpsons, or I watched Lifetime TV. I watched all the women that get raped and get divorced, and I haven't heard anybody. You see, they're relying on us being unaware of ourselves, and that's what we're trying to do, is get people to realize that the universe is always changing. When it stops changing, life stops. Life ceases. So we should expect change. But how we cope with change, and the big question, I guess, I would ask you is, you know, why do we allow others to create our reality for us when we ourselves can create it?
Oh, it's so much easier.
Isn't it?
Plus, it gives you somebody to blame if it doesn't turn out. All in all, people don't want to take responsibility for their creation and what they're creating in their life. And it's getting to the point, I find it fascinating, all the metaphysical groups and how they're focusing on the secret and the law of attraction. And the thing that I find very fascinating is a lot of them, they're in... The outcome that they're really wanting is, in some aspects, very materialistic.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for me, myself, I get my bills paid. I have I'm very, very blessed in many ways, but, you know, materialistic things just aren't my thing anymore. And it's because there was a time it was, and I realized how much having all this stuff didn't bring me happiness. It really just kind of held me down. And buying into the propaganda and all the programming that you must have this and you must have that, and you've got to beat, you know, the Joneses down the street because they have this, so you have to do it. And I really started kind of standing back and watching my siblings do exactly that. And understanding that that's their deal, not mine. And but right now, the energy right now is people are being made to take responsibility one way or another. So even though the economy and the banking and the government, is all just getting totally screwed up, and they're trying to control stuff. They're trying to control people even more so. It's only going to lead to really a civil war in this country of some magnitude, saying, no, we're not going to take this. And there's so many groups out there trying to say, you know, this is our government, let's take it back. Yet they don't really have a plan or a way to really do it effectively. And until they have that insight of the best way to handle, to regain control of the government and the banking industry, there's just going to be a little bit of a panic right now. And people saying, okay, I can't control everything, but I can control what I do.
Mm-hmm. If I may say so, when I look at the government, and it's, to use a metaphor, it's already gone down the toilet.
Oh, yeah.
Why would we want to take it back?
let's rebuild it in a different way. Let's say, you know, formulate something that's really for the people, which the original idea was, though in reality we know it never really was for the people. It's just a nice idea.
It was presented to us that way.
Yeah.
Yes.
But the you know, this is a community and we're supposed to support each other and be there for everyone. And now it's dog eat dog. And even the competition level in the spiritual people groups that I've seen around, that's even shifting from being very competitive to really helping each other out and finding out, you know, just because they're having one reading doesn't mean, you know, they're having one client, that doesn't mean I won't. So I don't have to fight for that one client. There's plenty to go around. And that attitude is really beginning to be accepted and really manifesting now. And it's the government and the banking, I truly believe there's going to be some really big upheavals in this year on both of them.
Yeah.
It's of some kind that's really going to shake the world to rethink what things are. It might be the one world order that we've all heard about going on for so long that maybe they're really going to make their attempt to do it now. I would not be surprised.
Yeah, I think, you know, you see all the signs, and of course everybody's talking about it, and that's part of what we're going to be discussing during the show, is the power of the word and the creation that takes place in that word. You mentioned, if I can go back to The Secret.
Sure.
Everybody was going crazy over that. Oprah Winfrey featured all the writers and the, mm-hmm. and the whole concept on her TV show. That should have been a tip-off to most people there that was an Illuminati-approved and probably orchestrated, or Tavistock-orchestrated, piece of literature.
Mm-hmm.
And the word believe was in there a million times.
Yes.
You have to believe. You have to believe. Well, that's reselling this mind control system, as far as I saw it. And there were a lot of sales techniques there. A lot of it was a regurgitation of Think and Grow Rich from Napoleon Hill, who missioned by Andrew Carnegie to write. And he spent his whole career gathering this information on successful people, but it was all to turn us into consumers, or to turn those that would become salesmen and industrialists and entrepreneurs, to turn us into sharks, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that may sound rather harsh or unfair, but it focuses on materialism. It's all about materialism. And the spiritual side was tithe 10% to your church. Make sure you support the church. You know, the institution, the organization. Nothing about spiritual values other than tell the truth. Well, you've got the biggest criminals on the planet running the economic system right now. And that's not how it was designed. And that's not, number one, it's not even legal. You know, they create these laws against doing the things that they're doing, pretending like they're not going on. So we've got to come to, as you very well said, a personal responsibility. It's not what someone else tells us to do. It's really what comes through the heart from other realms. and where the truth lies, where the light is, where the love is. And that's certainly not in the system. So
no.
I don't mean to sound like I'm ranting, but I'm sort of trying to point out the fact that people are trying to find some salvation in a system that is totally dysfunctional, totally dishonest, totally irreputable, and doomed, really. It's doomed to fail. So what are we going to do about it? That's where someone like you comes in. and that's a loaded...
Yeah, no kidding. And it's like I could instantly do like everybody else says, and I don't want the responsibility to find somebody else. But in reality, it's just getting the message out and giving people the courage and the strength within themselves to connect to that heart within and find the best way to be true to themselves by finding it. It was kind of interesting that somebody said to me something like, you know, you're not here to find yourself, you're here to create yourself or to create a life. And that's very true. But to me, as you're creating your life, you're finding yourself, your true self, during the creation process. So as a life coach, I really try and find out how people are in denial and how they have those blocks and how far back because of the DNA aspects in the past lives and the people that are in their lives now. There's so many people that have so many layers of programming that they need to get through. Mm. So I try and get to the very core, the issue that really is going on. And one of the majority of the issues that I'm really getting is worthiness. They don't feel worthy of reclaiming their power or making that decision because they've been so beaten down by criticism and judgments and anything and everything to beat them down where they don't have a mind of their own, and to actually find it and, like me, to be able to just say, no, I don't feel like doing that, mm-hmm. and it being okay. So people are really beginning to find their voice and listen to the voices within them. And one thing I always love doing is helping people find their intuitive side and really strengthen it. And they'll call me and say, okay, I got this from spirit. Is that right? And I go, you got to trust yourself. Do you think it's right? And they say, yes, then go for it. Mm-hmm. You know, they need that. Somebody's to say it's okay and give them permission to really believe till they give that permission to themselves. Mm-hmm. And the era and the feeling right now is we are being given permission to do what's right for us. Because if we do something that's true from our heart, it really is going to be for the highest good of all. Yeah. If it's truly from spirit.
Yes. When I consider, and you touched upon this briefly, and you spawned something in the back of my mind that's jumped to the on the front now. It's on my lips. So the question of what is in our DNA, that's related to a physical existence. But
right.
When we go into the spiritual realm, of course, we're not dependent on the laws of physics in a three-dimensional construct as we are, you know, as we're talking right here, yet you and I are really going outside of ourselves to express these higher thoughts or these deeper thoughts. And to the person that is struggling with physicality, struggling with materialism, either because they see themselves as a failure financially, or they see themselves as a failure because of their perception of lack and mm-hmm. need. And really it becomes a question of us sort of remembering who we are. Sometimes I use that term, but it's always not the best term. But when I trip upon something that spurs on a certain type of awakening within mm-hmm. myself, it seems that I'm remembering something. I remember another time when I heard that or when I knew that. And I've been able to incorporate a lot of that into my life and music or into other skills. I could do a lot of things that I wasn't really trained to do. And I think that's a carryover of the consciousness. So what we're talking about here is a parallel of consciousness too, not just dealing with the mental aspect, because, you know, they take your counsel or they take my counsel or some other person that's, you know, devoted their life to helping people understand themselves and understand the world and the universe and the creation. And it's difficult for them to understand why their car won't start or why they have a headache.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They're so, crippled by the accumulation of all these failures or all these things that went sour in their life. So you're right. There is a lot of clearing that has to take place. And none of us are exempt from that, of course, but some more than others, you know.
Yes. And some choose to add even more onto it by going more and more into that denial factor we talked about. And it's very interesting to see, as many people say, the onion being peeled and really seeing the true essence of someone really begin to shine. It gives me a great joy to see somebody who follows their heart and really achieve something beautiful and wonderful, and to be a part of that process is awesome. That makes me happy to be here. And it's very interesting how I have been blessed with being on the other side probably more than on this physical plane. I always was a daydreamer. I always knew that there were angels and there were spirits on the other side. I always was very connected to the spiritual realms my entire life. And because of my childhood that I will touch on for a little bit, it really pushed me over there. So even though I chose in this lifetime to experience some pretty horrific things, because of those horrific things, it actually enhanced my intuition and trusting that it's going to be all right, because I knew God was there. I knew I was protected. I knew there were certain things I was doing to understand and help people further along their evolution by enduring some interesting brainwashing as a child. So I knew there was something that, once I figured out that what I'd gone through, which is part of that peeling the onion process that many people don't realize they're going through on a daily basis, it really was a beautiful experience to always see through the darkness, the light was always there. And I always held on to that light. No matter what was going on, I always felt very, very protected.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you describe brainwashing, you're saying more than the average dose, because we all get it.
Well, yes, literally, I was using human experimentation by the government, by the military, since they even started using drugs on me before I was even out of the womb to start the processing. So, it was, you know, electric shock. If I had any emotion response, I was given a shock treatment. They used subliminal messages to program me to, and training me to do certain things for them. And, you know, it wasn't until I was about 38 years old that I realized that reoccurring dream as a kid where I was totally nude and my hands were strapped and tied over my head, it wasn't just a dream, that it actually did happen. And finally going to someone and doing regression and releasing the seven layers of hidden and fake memories so I get to the heart of exactly what did happen to me during basically 30 plus years. They really had basic control of me.
Now, I'm sure when you came out of that, you had many questions. Influence somebody to treat another human being that way? But then again, we're not even talking about human beings in the general sense, are we?
No, it was involving the reptilians. So they literally weren't.
Yes. Well, we don't need to waste a lot of time on them tonight.
No, we don't. I don't even like to give them any power whatsoever. I do acknowledge their existence, but that's about it.
Yeah.
So they were part of my experience in this physical realm, but because of them, it really accentuated and made me realize how powerful the light and God truly is.
Mm-hmm. Now, over the holiday season, starting around a couple of days before Christmas, I think.
Yes.
We get this annual dose of the Wizard of Oz. In fact, I have used that metaphor in some of my writing about the stories of two individuals who have become presidents of the United States are declared to have been born or lived in Kansas, where Dorothy Gale was from.
Mm-hmm.
And I think of the straw man and the tin man.
Yes.
and the lion, and these metaphors of, you know, if I only had a brain, you know, they're putting their Illuminati message right in front of us. Or if I only had a heart, you know, if I only had courage. And the thing is that on a subliminal level, as children, when we watched that, we thought it was fascinating, you know, to see I don't even remember what the soldiers were called. There were the soldiers that obeyed the Wicked Witch of the West.
The monkeys? Flying monkeys?
Well, not just the monkeys. They had the guys that were sort of looked like British bobbies marching around, you know.
And that's true. I don't remember what they're called either.
Oh, you know,
they
would march
around.
And then you had the munchkins going, follow the yellow brick road. You know, that was teaching us to be good little gold miners, you see. All of that was designed for the subconscious mind, and they chose dwarfs and midgets to play those roles to mirror image ourselves. In other words, we're going to show you what we think of you. This is who you're going to grow up to be. You're going
right.
He's going to be these little people. And I'm certainly not making fun of dwarfs or midgets. I'm just saying that was their method of mind control.
Mm-hmm.
That definitely was created and scripted by Tavistock. No doubt about it. Now, the music Harold Arlen wrote was beautiful. But you see, they used that as the glue to cause that to stick. Or, you know, it's sort of like the needle in the vaccination getting under your skin. They used the music as a means to get to our emotional bodies.
Right.
And as children, we grew up knowing that was just a movie, but we use all these sayings. There's no place like home. There's yet what you're never told is their plan is it's not your home. You know.
Yes.
when you figure out how everything works, it's all a big con job, and much like it was a dream or a nightmare that Dorothy Gale had. Being struck on the head during a tornado, that she saw all of this, and you know it was really mind control for children and adults, even into adulthood. People relate to that story, and they keep showing it every year.
And it recently was on. It was the 50th. No. It was a big anniversary this year for it. I thought it was always fascinating how they started out in black and white. But if you, you know, follow the Yellow Brick Road, it came into Technicolor, and it was bright and just so lovely. So we will show you the bright, beautiful future if you just follow, you know, the Yellow Brick Road. So I always thought it was fascinating how bright the colors were. They were almost fluorescent and had a life of its own.
Well, see, that's also the Hegelian dialectic, because in the astral, there are no limitations. Everything
right.
is in vibrant color, more colors than you can describe. You know, the millions of colors in my computer are nothing compared to what you see in the astral.
That's for sure.
And so they reversed that on us. It was this place that you had to escape.
Yes.
It's the Hegelian dialectic in action, really. And now bringing that into what we're talking about, and I think it serves a purpose. It is a very powerful metaphor that, you know, we should find the strength within ourselves, but it's not about belief, which was a word used in that movie too. You know, tap your heels three times together and say, "There's no place like home." You know, and it was so dramatic the way they presented that to us. But people really rely on those experiences as crutches, don't they? Throughout their
most definitely, yes.
And do you want to offer some insights as to how people who are struggling with fear or who are in denial about certain things. You know, we're not asking everybody to jump on the bandwagon and say, "Oh, okay, we'll accept that there are conspiracies." You know, I hate this phrase, conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
You know, or birthers, or, you know, whatever. They make these words up as if they mean something. They don't mean a thing.
Right.
The word conspiracy stands on its own, and what's being done to us is very conspiratorial. All the way across the board. So we have to take responsibility for our lives. We know that.
Well, and first, just acknowledging what your fear is huge. It starts the healing process very quickly. And once you acknowledge it, it almost magically will break down in front of you. Not always, but for the most part, it's like... The analogy I always use is like you have that nightmare where you're being chased by the bear. If you turn around and just say, "Hi, I'm Jen," the bear's going to say, "Hi, I'm Harvey. Let's go have a cup of coffee." Because it just takes the power away of this big bear attacking you, because it really isn't going to attack you, because it's just an illusion. So once you realize that the big bad bear is not there, you know, it's just a part of you that is making you aware of something you really need to look at. I always say, if there's anything that irritates you, scares you, or makes you anxious, that's exactly what you need to stand up and look at.
Mm-hmm.
And see what about it really makes you and puts you in that position. Because once you really look at it, and you can break it down very easily, and everything can break it down, because if you say, you know, if it's something that's a fear that is something outside of you, all you have to say, you know, it really doesn't affect me. Like the participating in the recession. Well, I personally am not participating in it. It doesn't affect me. I just won't let it. Sorry, doesn't exist. And for the most part, everything's going just fine and dandy for me. And it's more the moment. Positive attitude you have, and really breaking down what's in front of you that's causing you to be having a lot of angst, it's going to be that bear, and it's just going to go take you for a cup of coffee or something, or, you know, help you figure out what the problem is. And a lot of the work I do is I ask for clarity of something right before I go to sleep, and ask to remember it physically and consciously. So when I wake up, they generally start the process of healing the situation in the dreamscape. So when I wake up, I can face it with no problem, because I've done most of the work in the dreamscape. In a time that it's much easier to see the whole picture, they generally will give me a dream that will just explain everything. They show me where the fear came from, how I developed it, why I accepted it, and now how it's not really serving me anymore, so it's time to let it go.
Mm-hmm. As an intuitive life coach, do you find it rather ironic that people will address dreams more than they will things going on in their life. In a waking state, you know, I had this dream. What does it mean? But,
right.
But they're not really willing to talk about things going on in their everyday waking moments. Do you find that to be the case?
I think it's interesting, but a different perspective is it's all a dream.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So once one of them, you're just laying down while you're living, and the other part, you're standing up.
Yeah, and one, your eyes are closed, and you can see. Many times when the people's eyes are open, they can't see. So.
Right. Yeah, and it's to me, it's just a different perspective of the same thing. And if they're awake, to me, if you're asleep, you're actually more conscious, because at least every time I've told somebody to try and do this, they wake up more conscious of what's really going on. Whereas they try to do it when they're awake, they tend to make up excuses, figure out, you know, how to be distracted so they really don't deal with it. There is so many maneuvers through the program that's within them that even for me, I needed to go to regression to really face what was going on and what was definitely hindering me from moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to kind of get in that trance. So a lot of times, you know, that's why I really think NLP is awesome. That's why I got certified in it, because the people have control, yet you're taking them to a space and a trance state that makes them deal with their situation in a conscious way, yet it's still in that wonderful zone that it really can go a little deeper. And so there's so many ways of doing it. So if anybody has trouble, NLP is something that you can learn to do for yourself. You see a situation, you go, and you can just ask a series of questions, and it really unfolds before you. And journaling is also a great way.
Mm-hmm.
Do automatic writing is a great way to really answer. That's how I knew I needed to get something even more, because, you know, reoccurring dreams would come to me consciously. And it's like, I know there was something I need to deal with. So it made me wake up and see what that part of the dream was, so I can change it in this dream, the physical, the more conscious, awake state.
Yeah. Now, when you refer to neuro-linguistic programming, you're not talking about the speeches that the long-legged Mac Daddy in Washington, D.C.
No.
delivers off the teleprompter. You're speaking more of a positive.
A positive. And what I use is it's called Time Life Coaching. And basically, you go back in time on your timeline, and it can be parallel existence. It can be the linear. It goes anywhere in space and time. You go back to where it first started, and you go back a few minutes before, get a really good understanding, a good place that you're in, go through that experience from a different perspective, a more positive one. So it's more of a motivator and then a fear. You make it a positive experience and then bring yourself forward into the present day. So it is a more positive way than the repeating NLP phrases that they keep throwing at you. And it's interesting to go, I've been to many workshops, and it's so interesting to see how they use NLP.
Yeah,
you
want to give the listeners some examples? They've heard them in real life. It's a question of being aware, I guess.
Yeah. Landmark. Huge on NLP. They keep you up for long hours. Any workshop that keeps you for 12 hours, I will tell you right then, they're using some kind of brainwashing. It's fatigue. They're breaking you down. That's what they do in the military. They break down in boot camp. They just wear them out and then start the programming. So anything that they start like at 7 o'clock in the morning and they don't let you finish till 12 midnight, and they might have an hour break, that's a heads up that there's some kind of programming going on, that they're doing subliminal work on you. I actually I like the program Landmark. I did the program, but I just noticed they did use NLP. I was very aware of how they were doing it. They really get in there, though. Where's another one? There's many that are out there that, like I said, anything that's, they keep you for long hours at a time, they're using NLP, and they really are brainwashing you in some form. It could be in a positive way. I'm not saying brainwashing can't be a positive, because it can bring out some good things in it. But understand, they're using a method to wear you down so you get exactly the message they want you to get.
Yeah, the SRI's remote viewing program that took on all kinds of different colors over the years. And they said, we've abandoned that. That's no longer being practiced. I beg to differ.
Yeah, so do I.
And then we'll bring up Scientology. I mean, it's in the writings on how a person is determined to be clear. You know, they've flushed out their memory banks and recreated them for programming.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on how much money you spent and how long you stayed with it, you might land an acting job or a job in music where you're rewarded.
Right.
But totally, under that system's control. And that's not what we're talking about here. You're talking about empowering the individual.
And what I'm saying is, yes, and even some of those workshops that I went to, one of them was a wonderful healer, Star Fuentes. She does wonderful work, but again, she did use, she kept us, she started at 7 o'clock in the morning, and we did chores, and we did our workshop, but we didn't finish till 11 or 12 at night. And it broke you down. It broke you down. And, but I got some wonderful things from that program. That's why I'm really trying to let people know that there is ways of doing NLP that can help you. And the timeline program really is a very good way of going back and figuring it out for yourself, exactly what's going on. So you're able to deal with your own issues and get empowerment through the process. And you might, at sometimes when you're first doing it, you might have somebody there just to guide you through it. But overall, I do it to myself all the time. If there's something, it's like, okay, where did this first start? And just ask some questions, get in that zone, and just relax a little bit and empower myself with the answers that I'm looking for.
Okay. In our closing moments here, we're just about out of time, Jennifer. See how time flies when you're having
fun. Yes.
You're going to be on the show again this month, which is something to look forward to. I believe it's the 28th.
Yes.
January, you're going to be on again. And I'd like to get into this much deeper, where we focus on some methods that you want to share with people. Some practical things that they can do. If you would give out your website information and any contact information that you'd like to share with the listeners that might want to get in touch with you.
Sure. My main website is angelsintuition.com. You can contact me through there. There's a way of sending me an email. You can also contact me by jen@jenniferhillman.com. That will also get me an email. Those are the best ways to do it. And if you, I'll do a special. If you want a reading from me during this or some coaching, I will be taking 25% off. But just mention Don's name when you, in the email.
Oh, how nice of you. Well, that certainly, I'm sure you're going to get some calls from some of the listeners or some emails. Well, it's been a pleasure. I'm looking forward to your next visit with us, and I have a feeling you're going to be on this show quite a bit in the future if you're game.
At this point, it's a lot of fun.
Okay. Well, I hope you got to at least get out part of the message that you wanted to share tonight. I did take up some of the time, but...
It was a conversation, and that's exactly the way I like it. So,
great. Well, I want to thank you for being on the show. I want to encourage folks to tune into your show, and that's on bpsradio.com, station number one. And you're on Thursdays.
Thursday, 9 o'clock p.m.
And that's...
It's Pacific time.
Yes. So for those of you in other parts of the United States, the East Coast, she's on right before my show on Thursday nights. That's an easy way. If you tune into this show on Thursday nights, tune in an hour early and catch Jennifer Hillman. It's been a pleasure, and I want to thank you.
Thank you.
And I appreciate the work you're doing, and I wish you the best.
Oh, thank you very much. It's been a real pleasure and an honor, as I said. And thank you for your work. It's awesome.
Well, thank you. I'm just a messenger.
And so am I.
Okay. Well, you have a good night, and we'll talk soon.
All right. Thank you. Good night, everyone.
You folks, you've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com, and our special guest, Jennifer Hillman. Again, her website, www.angelsintuition.com. Special thanks also to Wind Talkers Radio Network, blogtalkradio.com, and you, the listeners, for tuning in. Join me again tomorrow night when my special guest will be Mr. Drew Malone Raines III. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.